Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We all know how hot Sacramento will get this summer. One relief are public pools, but access can vary depending on where you live. A recent example is Sacramento's Southside Park, which closed last summer and was the only pool in the city's central area. That closure was due to some swimmers reporting rashes, but it also puts a spotlight on the reality that public pools are more than a place just to cool off, but spaces for socializing, exercise, as well as health and wellness. They're also expensive to build, including to maintain and staff. And where the city prioritized public pools highlights a lack of equity with a deep history to unpack. That's why CAP Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb is here. Kristen joins us with the history about public pools that may surprise some of our listeners. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Vicky.
So when did your interest about Sacramento city pools begin?
In late April, I saw that the Southside Park Neighborhood Association was sounding the alarm, saying the only pool in the central city was closed indefinitely. It made me interested in looking into whether there were larger equity issues in public swimming pool access beyond this one case, especially since we had such devastating heat waves last summer with all those flex alerts.
Yeah, and last summer that public pool closed, as you mentioned, and people were reporting that some of the swimmers were getting rashes. What were the rashes from?
The city found that the pool's fiberglass lining gave people skin irritation, so they closed it for safety reasons. Councilmember Katie Valenzuela represents the area. She said at first the Parks Department thought they could fix it in the off-season, but then they found out the pool needs to be completely resurfaced or replastered. Because of the age of the pool and increased construction costs, they didn't have funding on hand for such a major repair.
And although the name is Southside Park, the pool is actually in the city center, correct?
Correct, yeah. It's near the intersection of 6th and U Street. It's in Southside Park, which is a neighborhood closer to downtown than South Sacramento. The park's just north of Highway 50 and west of I-5.
Yeah, it's where the farmers markets used to be on Sundays. So the city also says that, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money, right? It's going to cost over $1 million to resurface Southside Park, the pool specifically. So what do we know about when that might actually happen?
3 weeks ago, Valenzuela told me the city was on track to be able to reopen the pool in summer 2024. At the time, she couldn't say where they would be getting the funding from.
But there's going to be a press conference today, so are they going to be announcing some funding when talking about this public pool?
Yes, just 15 or so minutes ago, Kevin McCarthy's office sent out an email that it was able to get $500,000 to help with renovations to reopen it. And I'll note that this is the first time publicly that the state assembly member has gotten involved in this. His district includes Southside Park. But at this point, we don't know about other funding.
So it's likely it's not going to be done this summer.
That's right, because they'll still have to put the project out to bid and hire a contractor to resurface it. And all city pools close by early September.
Got it. There is the Southside Park Neighborhood Association. That's what really piqued your interest into this story. When you talk to the association, you know, what's their opinion about how the city is prioritizing the funding to fix community resources like pools?
She was disappointed to see the proposal for the upcoming budget include setting aside $90,000 to demolish an old shed at the park. Cox says that didn't make sense for the city to prioritize park development fees for the shed when the money could go toward a swimming pool people actually use. Here's what she thinks of the bigger picture.
With rising costs and everything, and, you know, money's always going to be a problem, but like there's not much of a plan in place for preventing this from continuing to happen. And I just hope that we don't continue just like waiting for a pool to need to be closed for a year or two to get it resurfaced, to open it again. And I think that, you know, having the budget for regular maintenance would be really great.
Yeah, and that's Sarah Cox, who's the president of the Southside Park Neighborhood Association. When it comes to Southside Park and the pool, that really isn't the only public space that needs a lot of money to fix up and to repair. What have you learned about the deferred maintenance that's happening in the city?
So the city had about more than $130 million in deferred parks maintenance as of last month. This includes delayed projects to resolve safety issues and code violations at parks, pools, and community buildings. It has all this deferred maintenance because current park development fees aren't enough to cover costs. To put things into perspective, the city has a proposed budget of $1.5 billion for the upcoming fiscal year.
So that means the city has to make tough decisions when it comes to prioritizing some projects over others. So what projects are going to be fixed or getting ready to open or reopen?
Yeah, in terms of pools, the city was resurfacing McClatchy Pool in Oak Park last month. That's scheduled to open on June 17th. The ribbon cutting for Higginwood Park's all-weather sport field replacement also happened about a month ago. The city is also aiming to open the Mama Mark splash pad next summer. It used to be a wading pool.
What are some of the neighborhoods that have been impacted by the closure of Southside Park Pool? Because there are a lot of communities that surround that park.
First, there's Southside Park itself, east of I-5, where Cox says most people don't have backyard pools, let alone big yards to put a sprinkler on. Two public housing communities are also within about a mile of the pool, Alder Grove and Marina Vista, which used to be called CV Circle. Some of those units don't have air conditioning.
Yeah, so if you don't have air conditioning, you don't have a yard to put a sprinkler on, you don't get that relief. And then, as you mentioned last summer, we had these flex alerts and just really grueling triple-digit temperatures. A lot of people might not realize these equity issues when it comes to public spaces like pools and parks, especially when one like Southside Park, which we're focusing on, the pool has closed. When it comes to the demographics, the people who live in the area, why is this pool so important for them?
About 39% of residents living where the pool is located live at or below the poverty level, according to census data. And when you move down to the area just south, where the public housing communities are, that statistic rises to 52%. So many people in these communities don't have a lot of disposable income, or they might lack access to reliable transportation. Having a neighborhood public pool within walking distance is a huge deal. Admission is usually $2 or $4, and it isn't just a place to cool down. It's also a place to socialize and exercise.
Yeah, and that's affordable when it's within walking distance, right? Because you mentioned not everyone has access to reliable transportation. You did also talk to some people who are questioning why money for parks and pools and community centers, that it's really not prioritized in their minds. And you had a conversation with Darius Hinson, and he's the principal at Grant Union High School.
Hinson saw similarities between the situations in Southside Park and Del Paso Heights. He says both neighborhoods lack access to a nearby city pool and haven't received the same historic investment as higher income communities. Some older homes in Del Paso Heights also don't have air conditioning. But unlike Southside Park, Del Paso Heights has a school pool filling the gap right now. The Twin Rivers School District opens the Grant High School pool to the summer, to the public every summer. This year, admission will be free. Still, Hinson says the community would benefit from a city facility similar to the North Natomas Aquatics Complex.
And I don't believe that enough pressure is put on having equitable facilities like other communities that might be a little bit more affluent. And because that same kind of pressure, that political pressure is not put, we tend to fall short when it comes to things like having a viable aquatic facility for a community of this nature.
How does he envision, what would he like to see when it comes to a viable aquatic facility for the Del Paso Heights community?
He would like to see a family-friendly public pool that's accessible to everyone. The current Grant High pool, which opened in 2017, is designed for water polo and competitive swimming. So most of it is 7 feet deep, unlike the high school pool that he grew up going to. He said Mama Mark's Park would be a great place to build an aquatics facility. But like we talked about earlier, the city is planning to replace a wading pool there with a splash pad.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Kristen Lamb, CAP Radio's Sacramento government reporter, about the importance of community or public pools and some of the issues of equity they raise based on where they're built and the funding and resources given to them. So, Kristen, you also learned about the disparity of where pools are built, why they are prioritized in certain areas, some neighborhoods and not others. Can you explain how redlining comes into play and how particularly Black people were historically treated in public pools?
I talked with Helene Margolis about that. She's an associate adjunct professor in the UC Davis Department of Internal Medicine, who also works in the university's Climate Adaptation Research Center. Here she is explaining nationwide research.
Historically, because of the structural racism, pools were not built in redlined areas or in poor areas, and those pools that were built for many generations, African American, Black people, people of color, were excluded. They could not use those pools. And it's a problem that still exists because of this sort of legacy. So you have just geographically, the pools aren't available.
Yeah, and that trickles down to the ability to swim. Where do people of color fall when it comes to that? And how does income factor into this as well?
There's a 2017 study that by the USA Swimming Foundation that looked at Houston, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and Memphis. Researchers found 64% of Black and 45% of Latino children reported little to no swimming ability. And white children, 40% reported the same issue. So basically, because generations of Black people were barred from public swimming pools, Black children today are less likely to be able to swim. The study also found 79% of children in households with annual incomes less than $50,000 have low swimming ability.
You mentioned, or I believe when we were talking about Del Paso Heights, there was mention of the Natomas Aquatics Complex, and that's a relatively new complex in Natomas. The city of Sacramento, they opened it up. It's a $40 million aquatic center. Can you talk to us about the demographics there and how it compares to the other areas we were talking about?
Yeah, the city opened it last year in April. U.S. Census data shows in the area near the complex, only 15% of residents live at or below the poverty line. That's a much lower rate than near the Southside Park pool. It doesn't have just a 25-yard recreational pool, but a competition pool, splash pool, and water slides, too. Before it opened, a Natomas mother told me the closest public pool was a 20-minute drive away at McKinley Park. The complex is now just a 5 to 7 minute trip from
their
home.
That's a big difference. You also spoke to Angela Short, who was enjoying her time at the Natomas Aquatics Complex. What was her experience like?
Short lives in Carmichael, but she came to the complex with friends. She says air conditioning is expensive at her apartment and management hasn't fixed the pool there. She grew up in South Sacramento as a teenager, used to walk to a swimming pool. Here she is explaining why she enjoys public pools.
As long as I can get out of the heat, get some exercise, I'm happy. I don't swim like I used to because I was injured in a car accident. So my right hip is all mangled, and what swimming does is that I'm not putting pressure on this hip, and I can have fun.
Yeah, I mean, it is a low-impact exercise, and most importantly, it's not just relief from the heat, it's also a lot of fun for all ages. When people are going to be heading to a pool this summer, what kind of precautions should they keep in mind when they're swimming during these triple-digit temperatures?
Margolis, the UC Davis professor, says people need to keep in mind that swimming outdoors during extreme temperatures can contribute to heat-related illness, particularly if there isn't any shade and if pool water gets too warm. Swimmers need to stay hydrated and keep in mind sunburns can reduce ability to both sweat and cool down. So make sure to use sunscreen.
And again, we don't know what's going to come of today's press conference. You got a little bit of details, you know, about a half hour ago from Assemblymember Kevin McCarty's office about funding for Southside Park's pool. But what can you tell us about the other city pools that are going to be open this summer?
All of the other 11 neighborhood pools will be open by June 17th. That's next Saturday. Doyle Pool in Northgate and Johnston Pool in North Sacramento open tomorrow and this Saturday.
Is there an easy place to check hours and availability?
You can find schedules in the park section of the city website. It's also linked in the full web story about this issue at capradio.org.
Kristen, as always, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Kristen Lamb is Cap Radio Sacramento government reporter. Up next, humans have a long, complicated history with fire. We'll meet an author helping children reimagine fire beyond its devastation, but also as a key part of life on our planet. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.